And Bill Flores joins us this morning. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. Let's talk a little health care first. Personally, you were wearing a neck brace, I think, on TV last week, and then if people saw you around, tell us what that was about.
Well, I had neck surgery on August the 19th, and it was totally unexpected. I had to take 3 weeks out of the middle of my campaign, and have my neck operated on, did major reconstructive surgery inside my neck, and fortunately, except for headaches every now and then, I'm doing really well. I'm healing pretty well. I feel a little bit better every day. Hopefully, I'll be as good as new before too long.
There you go. I want to congratulate you. You were named an distinguished alumnus of Texas A&M over the weekend and ceremonies at Kyle Field.
Well, thank you. That was a very humbling experience. I mean, if you look at that group of 197 people that have won that award out of 500,000 Aggies, it really does humble you. And you don't know if you ever deserve it, but I'm glad to have won it. It was a neat experience.
There you go. All right, let's talk about this campaign as we've got about a week and a half to go. I guess the first thing I'd like to talk to you about is the Marine Rig 200 story. This goes back to, 1992 or so when you were an operative in an oil company. I know the Dallas Morning News did a story on that. First of all, give us your take on that story, and is there some more information you'd like to add to it?
Well, let me start by giving you some other news first, and then we'll come back to that if you don't mind. We've had a lot of great things happen in the Flores family and also with the Flores campaign recently. The first thing that we're excited about is that President George H.W. Bush has endorsed us, and we'll be announcing that this morning. So Bush 41, or the 41st President of the United States, has endorsed our campaign. We're pretty excited about that. Also, Gene and I found out on Friday of this past week that our new granddaughter is going to be a girl. So we've got a granddaughter. If we can get our son and his wife over to have that baby in Texas, she'll be an 11th generation Texan.
Wow.
So we're pretty neat about it.
Sure.
Pretty excited about it. The last thing is that, like we talked about, our neck surgery's turned out to be successful. Now, on to the marine drilling situation. If you roll the clock back to the time period between 1982 and 1992, either oil or natural gas prices were extremely low during those time periods, and scores of companies either failed or were working or were under some severe financial stress. In 1991 and 1992, marine drilling was under great stress. The board of directors and the CEO came to me and said, please put together a plan to save this company and save the jobs and save the investment. So I was able to put together a plan that swapped equity for debt and paid off every participant, every lender that wanted to participate in that plan, and we saved several hundred jobs out of it. It's unfortunate that only in American politics can you take a heroic effort like that saved jobs and saved a great company and turn it into a political liability. I'm proud of what we did. We did a great job in saving that company and saving those jobs. What's really sad here, that the real bankruptcy that's happening today is the destruction of the futures of our children and grandchildren by Chet Edwards and Nancy Pelosi and President Obama. They're the people that have layered trillions on trillions of dollars of debt on this country and are killing the futures of our kids.
Fact remains, you only paid back $3 million of $10.5 million. You left the government on the hook.
Well, let's go back to the aggregate. We had over $200 million in debt that was outstanding on that company, and of everybody that participated got 100% of their money back. They got all their principal and all their interest, and some made nice profits on the stock that we gave them. I can't help the fact that the United States government elected to not take a perfectly good deal, and the reason they gave is it wasn't practical. That doesn't make sense to me in terms of taking care of the taxpayer. We gave them a chance. $200 million, the bulk of that debt was repaid. Everybody participated, got their money back.
If you're elected, would you be in favor of the United States government helping out another oil company that gets in a problem the way that Marine 2 did? Would you do that?
If there's a chance to save the taxpayer, I would. Look, there's a difference. People have tried to say this was a bailout. This wasn't a bailout because we didn't ask for any money. We didn't ask. All we asked was for a chance to give the government a plan to get its money back. We didn't ask for anything else. And it was a shame that the government wouldn't accept that plan because they would have had their money back, and this would never have occurred.
But nonetheless, this ends up being a write-off. The federal government got stiffed when this company could have done something even in the future to do the right thing, Bill.
No, sir. The country didn't get stiffed. The country had a chance to get its money back. The country chose not to get its money back. The country proposed an alternative restructuring plan.
I executed the restructuring. You don't argue with the United States government.
No.
I executed the restructuring plan the United States government asked me to execute, and it didn't work out for them. And I'm sorry, but I gave them a chance to get their money back. History proved that I was correct.
Today's government, would they still handle this the same way that they did then?
I don't know if they would or not. It's hard for me to forecast who's gonna do what at different times. All I know is they had a chance to get their money back, and they asked me to do a different plan, and they didn't get their money back.
An interview with a Dallas TV station, WFAA, they had asked you, among other things, about increasing the Social Security age. You made a comment, and then after the fact, you called the interviewer and asked them not to air that interview because you'd had a headache. You've taken some criticism for that.
Well, it's unfortunate that again, everything that happens in this, you're under a microscope the entire time. I have had over 120 public events. I've had dozens of interviews, and I've always answered this question the same way every time except one. And I've always said that I am opposed to raising the retirement age for Social Security. Anytime I'm asked about Social Security, I talk about the way to fix, one of the key ways to fix Social Security is to get the economy going. If we get more people employed, that means we have more payroll taxes going into the Social Security system. Unfortunately, in the middle of that WFAA interview, when they asked me the question, instead of saying I'm philosophically opposed to raising the age, I misspoke and I said I'm not philosophically opposed. But just so everybody is clear, I'm philosophically opposed to raising the age. I'm sorry that I misspoke. What we've got now is there's only one candidate in this race that's voted to raise taxes on seniors, and there's only one candidate in this race that is going to hurt our senior citizens in this country by reducing Medicare by $500 billion through Obamacare. And he refuses, Chet Edwards refuses to repeal Obamacare so that we can restore Medicare benefit or the today's current level of Medicare benefits to seniors. And that's one of the things I will do is I will get Obamacare repealed so that we can restore Medicare benefits and senior citizen benefits.
Bill Flores joining us this morning. Yeah. Let's talk about the younger end of Social Security. For those people who are 30 years old, they feel like they could do better themselves. What's your feeling on the idea of giving people a little bit of independence in making their choices?
I don't like to talk about Social Security on discrete pieces. What I would like to do is have a comprehensive plan to fix Social Security for every generation. Right now, it is a situation where younger Americans are paying for the benefits of older Americans, and we need to fix that so that every American gets what they should get out of Social Security. I think that's going to take a comprehensive discussion, but if you look at what we need to do today, I mean, Social Security is a problem. If you took that system and put it on the books of a corporation as a pension plan, they'd indict every director of that company for a giant scheme that doesn't work. Today, what we need to do is focus on the economy, getting people back to work, getting the federal deficit, under control and the deficit balanced. And then once that's done, then we can have a comprehensive discussion about Social Security. But let's start working on getting the economy fixed first.
Okay, now twice in our interview, Bill Flores joining us this morning, twice in your interview you've said getting Americans back to work. What is the government's job in that?
Well, the main thing if you go back to Ronald Reagan's view of America, the main thing to do is get out of the way of the American people. Let me give you a couple of examples. Small businesses are faced with a variety, and large businesses too, are faced with a variety of headwinds that are blowing at gale force in front of them. And they include things like, what's the cost of their health care going to be? Obamacare is causing insurance companies to have to dramatically raise their rates today for small and large businesses. I mean, you've heard the story about McDonald's having to get a waiver. We've also got financial reform is going to cause capital to come out of the market. It's going to raise the cost of capital. We don't know what our tax rates are going to be on January the 1st. Congress had a chance to stop the biggest tax increase in this nation's history from going into effect. What did it do? It adjourned so it could go home and campaign. That's spineless, and that's a reprehensible action on the back of the 111th Congress. And then you've got 190-plus regulations that each cost over $100 million to implement. That's a huge hidden tax on the American economy. What the federal government needs to do is take today's tax rates and, for all brackets, extend them permanently. Have a temporary payroll tax holiday so that small businesses feel comfortable in putting people to work at a reduced cost temporarily. Repeal Obamacare, repeal financial reform, and then shut down those 191 regulations that have no cost-benefit relationship.
What's the first piece of legislation you want to introduce if you're elected?
The first piece I would do would be to, I mean, if I could do an omnibus piece, what I would do is repeal Obamacare, repeal health care, extend the current tax rates, and stop all those burdensome regulations. And basically it would be the real world American Recovery Act of 2011.
Let's talk about privatization of the VA. This is something your opponent has said you want to do. Like, explain the Bill Flores view of what the VA needs to be able to provide.
Well, if everybody believed everything that Chet Edwards has either made up or manipulated about me, I mean, I wouldn't be qualified to have a paper route. And that's a shame that you could take somebody that's worked real hard to do the right thing in the real world in the private sector and try to destroy it. When it comes to the VA, I want veterans to have good benefits. I want them to be taken care of properly. We had a debate among the Republican primary candidates. I think you were there. You may have been a moderator in January. And during that debate, I was asked, how do you feel about veterans used in private health care system? And I said, I would be in favor of them having access to private health care so that if they have routine care needs, they can go into the VA and they can get that taken care, into the private system, local doctor, and have the VA pay for it. Now, I didn't make this up on my own. I've got a group of veterans and current military men and women that advise me on these matters, and they gave me the example of an elderly veteran and his elderly wife that live in Madisonville, and they said there's no reason for that couple to have to drive to Waco or drive to Houston for routine care. All I want veterans to do is have good care. And even last Friday, Oprah Winfrey came out with a deal about how our female veterans are not being taken well care of in the current veteran system. Now, I'm not trying to malign the veteran system. I think our veteran system does a great job, particularly in specialized battle wound areas. But I'd like to see every veteran have the best possible care that they can, and sometimes that may be through their local doctor for routine care. I never said privatize the VA. One more time. I never said privatize the VA. That is a false statement that he did, and it's a tragedy that Chet Edwards is trying to scare our veterans and scare our seniors by making up what I really said.
The Texas legislature is going to go into session here in January. It took some help from the federal government for them to be able to close their budget gap 2 years ago. Probably CHIPS and Medicare is going to be larger than it has been. Can they look to Washington for help, in your view, if you're elected, to close the gap?
Let's talk about what the real issue is here with the Texas budget. The real issue with the Texas budget is we've got a sick economy across the country. Now, Texas has done relatively better. I think our legislature and our governor have done a reasonably good job under the circumstances of keeping Texas as a robust economic state. Nonetheless, it has not grown at the rate that the economy in Texas has not grown at the rate that it could have had the national economy been growing at the rate that it should be growing. We haven't produced any real job growth for months now. We've got 7 million fewer people employed today in this country than we had when Nancy Pelosi assumed the speakership of the House. We've got 3 million fewer people employed today than when the stimulus bill was passed. If you want to fix the Texas budget, we need to grow the private sector economy all across this country, and that means putting people to work from California to New York, and, of course, Texas is going to get the lion's share of those jobs. When you put people to work, tax revenues in the state of Texas grow up, and pretty soon you cure the need for looking to Washington for federal handouts. And you cure the reason we're having funding problems with higher education in Texas, the reason Texas A&M had to lay off or eliminate 400 positions is because tax revenues in Texas are down. If you want to fix that, get off the back of the private sector so that we can put more Americans to work in Texas and all across the country, and we'll cure the Texas budget problem.
Contract from America is a loosely held group of ideas that were put out, I guess, in May. One of those had to do with earmarks. I'd like to get your view on how earmarks should be used or not be used.
The earmark system today is shows you is the tip of an iceberg of a broken appropriations process. If you want to see the extreme examples, look at what happened inside of Obamacare with the billions of dollars that were going to be given to Nebraska and the billions of dollars that were going to be given to the state of Louisiana. And then look inside the stimulus bill. Look at the $110 million that was used to create 55 jobs in California. Mm-hmm. that's the way the federal government appropriates. What I want to do is kill the current earmark system and replace you, come up with a system so that if Texas A&M comes and said, we need a couple of $1 million, for instance, for food safety research, that's a critical national priority, and I would support that, and I would put my name on it and run it through Congress in a transparent appropriations process and get that money for Texas A&M, but do it in such a way where I don't have to give $2 million to the Charlie Rangel Center in New York. I mean, that's not a critical national priority. Or $200,000 to some community in California to remove tattoos. That's not a critical national priority. A lot of the research that Texas A&M does are critical national priorities, and those will survive my new system because they're critical and they'll go through a transparent appropriations process. Texas A&M won't hurt under me.
Bill Flores is the Republican nominee for the 17th Congressional District. We'll have a forum on October the 25th at Briarcrest Country Club. Today's interview is archived or will be archived later today on our website, WTAW.com, and early voting begins today. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Well, I appreciate it. Be sure and ask our listeners to pray for our country and for our troops during these difficult times.
Very good. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.